Hello and welcome back to the Catch the Blitz show, season 2, episode 19. We're down to 4 teams in the NFL.
Yep.
Started this thing off back in August, 32. We've been doing it every week since, and we're really boiling down to the point where, sad to say, I mean, what do we got? 3 NFL games left.
3.
To enjoy for the whole season.
And the Pro Bowl. The
flag football doesn't count. Game. That does not count. I don't even think they're doing a game this year. I think it's just pure let's have fun. They're playing like tag, freeze tag.
Just cancel the event.
Dodgeball. No, it's a joke. They should cancel the event. Make the season longer. Give two bye weeks a team. That's a whole nother episode I can go off for 20 minutes on how the NFL can save their schedule. But anyways, I'm Thomas Parker, and as always, joined by the less excited Christian Catanacci.
If we recorded
what a difference a week makes for you.
If we recorded this last night, I don't think I would have showed up.
Yeah.
I don't think it would have been an old show for me. But, you know, we're battling through. It was a tough day. I'm staying away from social media for the next couple of days. Twitter especially. You know, we live on Instagram, so I can't really dodge that. But, yeah, I mean, the Cowboys fall short once again. If you want to jump right into it. 19-12 to the San Francisco 49ers. It's a shame because it felt like, at least before, like if you're looking at the game before, if you said, oh, the Cowboys were going to hold them to 19 points and all sorts of things, you would expect the Cowboys to win, but that wasn't the case. Obviously, there were so many different factors. Fingers are being pointed in all sorts of directions. I can't say that I'm not used to this feeling, you know, being a fan pretty much all my life. Back in 2007 was the first year. I was a 9-year-old little boy. And it's now the same pain year in and year out. But hey, at the end of the day, I can probably say that the better team won. But it's unfortunate because the Cowboys did look like they definitely had a chance to win that game.
Yeah, I think I haven't been staying away from social media. So I've seen the reaction, especially towards the Cowboys. And it's that narrative, you know, same old Cowboys. It's everyone's favorite yearly tradition when the Cowboys get eliminated from the playoffs. And I don't know, I've been kind of struggling with that idea. Maybe it's how they lost, not that they lost, because let's be honest, like they were underdogs going into this game. And I've been beating the drum on this show for a while now and saying that the 49ers might be the best team in all of football. So yeah, I think you're very right that the better team won the game. But I think more so of the negative backlash and the criticism of Dak Prescott and Mike McCarthy and the Cowboys organization in general is just more so how they lost. That embarrassing, embarrassing formation to end the game. I mean, reminiscent of the legendary Sunday Night Football Indianapolis Colts on that fourth down.
Yeah, the game was over before that.
Exactly.
Either,
right? Yeah, no. But there were a couple turnovers from that. It was just overall a sloppy game from the Cowboys. Literally the polar opposite of what went on, you know, just last week on the Monday Night Football game against the Bucks. So frustrating for sure from a Cowboys fan. I mean, I don't think it's fair to just completely put this team on blast, though, because at the end of the day, they were playing on the road against a very, very good football team, a team that could very well go on and win the Super Bowl, and I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah.
So, you know, it is what it is. I mean, if you want to talk future outlook, I look at the Cowboys, and you got a formula that works. I'm strictly on the wagon of let's go run it back next year and let's try again.
Yeah, I don't think you can necessarily run it back in the same sense. Like you watched teams like San Francisco and teams like Philadelphia, they really loaded up and were ultra aggressive in trying to surround their team with better talent. And let's just face it, right? Like, first off, I don't think Mike McCarthy deserves nearly as much blame as what's been thrown around. I think he had a fantastic coaching year, and this is coming from someone that was super harsh on Mike McCarthy in previous years. And I wasn't even the craziest guy. I wasn't doing backflips and cheering when we hired the guy back in 2020. But I think Mike McCarthy did a fantastic job this year. Sure, he has his moments, but I think They're a little bit blown out of proportion just because he is the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys. I think at the end of the day, this Cowboys loss falls in the hands of two people. I think it falls in the hands of the quarterback. And I think ultimately, the exact same reason why they lost last year, it falls in the hands of the front office. And it seems like it's the same year after year, right? I believe that the Cowboys front office thinks Dak Prescott is better than he actually is, right? And I'm not trying to knock Dak. It's not a knock on Dak. At the end of the day, there's probably two or three quarterbacks that are the elite quarterbacks where they can overcome flaws in teams. And the fact is Dak's not going to overcome having Noah Brown, Michael Gallup as a second option. Like, if you watch that game yesterday, the 49ers weren't afraid of anybody that wasn't wearing number 88, right? Outside of Lamb, the Cowboys didn't really have much. And I have it right in front of me. The wide receivers that touched the field this season, not named CeeDee Lamb: T.Y. Hilton, Michael Gallup, Noah Brown, Simi Fehoko, Dennis Houston, James Washington, Kevontae Turpin, and Jalen Tolbert. Like, it's a weapons league, right? And absolutely, Dak needed to play better. If he played average, the Cowboys probably win that game. Let's be honest here. But this shouldn't be a surprise to many people, because when push comes to shove and the game gets, the margin for error becomes a little bit, you know how it is in the playoffs, yeah, right? And when you don't have weapons, like they had Amari Cooper and they let Amari Cooper go, and that fell flat on their face. That entire plan fell flat on their face. Michael Gallup was, I mean, it's unfair to put all this expectation on the guy, because he was coming off of torn ACL. But look, yeah, Dak could have played better, absolutely. But Dak isn't that guy he's not going to go in and carry this team to a victory. That's not the guy he is. He's a good quarterback. You can win games. You can win a lot of games with Dak Prescott. He's back-to-back 12-win seasons now. He's gotten to the playoffs consistently, I should say. I mean, he's won the division multiple times, but you need to surround him with more talent if that's the direction that you want to go. If the Cowboys are like, okay, we're content with Dak being our guy, they got to surround him with as much talent as possible. The blueprint is in front of you. Philadelphia, San Francisco. Heck, I get it, it's Mahomes and Burrow, but let's not act like Burrow doesn't have his fair share of weapons either, yeah, right? You need weapons in this league. And the fact of the matter is, the four remaining teams have some of, if not the best supporting cast in the world. Obviously, you take away Mahomes, but that's Mahomes, right? Yeah. I feel like a lot of people are making that comparison. Like, I saw all over the place. It's like, oh, Dak has this, Dak has that. That should be good enough. It's good enough if you have Mahomes, if you have Burrow, but Dak's not that guy, right? He needs a stronger supporting cast, and it falls back on the front office. The front office failed to surround him with the talent that he needed to elevate his game, and it is what it is. I mean, feels like it's a constant cycle here, because year in and year out, we're complaining about the same thing. The Cowboys aren't good enough, and I mean, it's very easy to get narrow-minded as a fan and as someone who's watched this team for 15 years. It's very easy for me to just sort of narrow in, even though that was my belief. If you listen to what I said all offseason, and even early on this year too, I just didn't feel like they were good enough. Obviously, they went on a run. They win 12 games. You start to believe a little bit, but the fact of the matter is they just were not good enough.
Yeah, I mean, when I said the term run it back, I was more so focusing on the quarterback, because I think it's so wild to suggest that anyone other than Dak is the quarterback for the Cowboys next year. Like, I think that's ridiculous. And I've been seeing some people say on Twitter that, like, oh, it's time for them to move off Dak. You know, he's not that guy. He's not going to lead them to the Super Bowl. Like, look at the team that they lost to. The San Francisco 49ers playing with literally the last pick in the draft. And yeah, quarterback is far and away the most important position on a team. But I think in this modern era of football, what we're learning is that having a arsenal of weapons is the way to go. Literally have to put your quarterback in a perfect situation. Look at all the teams that flourished this year. And like you said, those quarterbacks that have taken steps in recent years, Josh Allen, when he got Stephon Diggs, Justin Herbert with, you know, Keenan Allen, Mike Williams, Tua with Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle. When you look back to that Amari Cooper move for the Cowboys, I get how important cap space is. And I understand the value of a good contract in the NFL. And yeah, maybe Amari Cooper was a little bit past his prime and hitting that overpaid point. But the truth is, like, man, could they have used Amari Cooper
absolutely
yesterday.
Like, look, I was fine with moving off Amari at the time. But you got to replace him with somebody, right? Like, it goes back to the fact that the quarterback isn't going to just, for example, you take Noah Brown, you take Michael Gallup, Michael Gallup would be a very good wide receiver three on a good team. If Michael Gallup's your wide receiver three, you did a great job building your roster. But Michael Gallup off a torn ACL as your wide receiver two, he had seven games this year where he got held under 25 yards, and he missed the first four games, right? Like that's, you got it. You need more from your wide receiver too. Obviously, yeah, it would help if your quarterback played a little bit better, but it falls back on the fact that Dak isn't that elite guy, right? So if Dak is going to be your guy, which I think he's deserved the shot, like obviously, like he's shown enough that he's a franchise guy that you can win a lot of games with Dak, but the harsh reality of being one of those very good quarterbacks in the NFL is that you need more help than, let's say, Mahomes and Burrow. And that's not a knock on the 10 guys that are in the same tier as Dak. It just is the harsh reality. You can't expect a quarterback that isn't capable of going in the game and putting up 5 touchdowns, 400 yards every single week. Dak isn't going to play perfect every single week. He's not Mahomes. He's not Burrow. And the roster has to be sort of resonant of that, right? Like, you can't expect Dak to just be this hero, because I think it's unfair and it's unreasonable from an expectation standpoint. And it, at the end of the day, it fell flat in their face, right? Because it's just not the way to build a winning football team around a quarterback like Dak. And in my opinion, at least, it seems almost poetic in the sense that both teams that are very similarly built, obviously one has a quarterback that is a step above the other. And this team that I'm talking about is the Buffalo Bills and Josh Allen. But both teams really struggled in the playoffs because they only really have that one weapon. And you look at Stephon Diggs, nobody stepped up into that role. And that's obviously, of course, everyone would love to have two studs. Everyone would love to have the Eagles receiving supporting cast, the 49ers supporting cast, the Bengals supporting cast. But at the end of the day, you can't just expect your quarterback to go in and bail you out every single game when he has Gabe Davis and Cole Beasley as his secondary options, right? Like, you need more than just that. And it's a good way to segment into our next point, because the Buffalo Bills, like, if there's a team that feels worse than the Cowboys this morning, it might be those Buffalo Bills, right?
I mean, there's like, the Bills came in this year Super Bowl favorites.
Yeah.
They started the season off on a tear, especially those first two games. They looked like this team is never, ever going to lose with how dominant those first two wins were. They had some peaks and valleys throughout the year. Overall, Josh Allen had a very impressive year. He is a very talented quarterback. And not to be the I told you so guy here, but I have been on this sort of wave for more than a few years now, in the sense that the Bills' identity is literally built on Josh Allen, what I call hero ball.
Yeah.
Let's let our guy, who, like I said, is incredibly talented and one of the best quarterbacks in the league, he has to be the hero. He's going to get it done for us in the air. He's going to get it done for us on the ground. I've watched the Bills. I've watched Josh Allen week 3 against Miami have almost 500 total yards, and the team lost the game. There is so, so much pressure on this guy. I don't even think the Chiefs ask Mahomes to do as much as the Bills ask Josh Allen to do, because there are games where the Chiefs, you know, have their bursts with some talented running backs, yeah, and the defense steps up. And the Bills' defense is a strange one to me, because I know they were very, very banged up throughout the year, but this is a team with a lot of talent on the defensive side of the ball. And for 2 years in a row now in the playoffs, they have not come up when their team needs them. And I think the defense is going to look very different next year with guys like Tremaine Edmonds and guys like Jordan Poyer being free agents. So it is a weird time in Buffalo, because we talk about windows in the NFL and how quickly windows can close. Everything sort of felt like this was the year for the Bills to go all the way. But at the same time, let's not take anything away from Cincinnati. It's very similar to the Cowboys situation.
Yeah.
You lost to a very good team, yeah, and a team that is building a track record and a reputation of just being absolutely dominant in the playoffs. Yeah. So obviously you don't feel great as a Bills fan. Things need to change in terms of their philosophy, I think, because yes, it's just too much pressure on Josh Allen, especially a guy who is a little bit streaky.
Yeah. And he's uber talented too. That's what I'm saying. I think honestly, both the Cowboys and the Bills, their identities are very similar, right? And it's crazy to say, because it's not working for Josh Allen, and everybody knows that Josh Allen's more talented than Dak. It doesn't take a genius to figure that out. So if it's not working for Josh Allen, what makes you think it's going to work for Dak, right? But on that point, I think both you and I know we face a lot of scrutiny on this show, but I think we deserve a pat on the back because we were both very pessimistic when it came to the Bills.
We both
this
had
year.
The Bills out actually in
yeah,
this round.
We yeah. did. And even before, as early as our first show of the year, we both said it just we honestly said that the Dolphins could rival that division. We weren't high on the Bills. We both said that the Bills, it felt like the Bills missed, at least to us, it felt like the Bills missed their chance last year. I really did believe that the Bills' best chance to win the Super Bowl was last year, which is a shame because of everything that happened, that colossal collapse from the Bills in that 10 or 15 second 13, window, 13 second never window, forget. whatever that was. But yeah, again, it's not a winning philosophy, right? You cannot expect your quarterback. It's not, at the end of the day, it's not sustainable, right? Sure, you're going to have weeks where Josh Allen goes out and throws for 500 yards and five touchdowns and looks like the best thing since sliced bread. But the fact of the matter is, there's going to be a few games where he's not going to be on his best. And it's unfortunate that it came in an important time like the playoffs, but is it Josh Allen? No, I don't think it's Josh Allen. I think Josh Allen needs more than just Stephon Diggs, right? Because you can't have your offense live and die by the quarterback. We're off that now, right? Like that, it's not that era of football anymore. You have just one or two guys, and sure, Mahomes and Burrow are elite quarterbacks, but they have darn good teams too. So like, it's not like they're just doing it by themselves. Sure, they have their moments where they're able to elevate whoever's around them, but Josh Allen could be on that level too if he just got another weapon alongside Stephon Diggs. That way the game just it just opens it up just a little bit more, right? One more thing the defense has to worry about, because let's face it, either it's the same thing with the Cowboys game. The Bengals were not really afraid of anybody but Diggs, and you saw that, right? You saw it in the way that the defense was just playing in general, right? Like they were blanketing Diggs just like the 49ers were blanketing Lamb, and they both still had production, but it was nowhere near as game-changing as they would truly be if they had a good complementary piece next to them. And it's a shame because year in and year out, we've been preaching it for so long, both of us. For those of you that have been listening, I know there are some out there. Like the game is changing. It's a weapons league. It's always been a quarterback league, but now it's more than ever, right? And you're seeing year in and year out. Like, I don't know how clear it has to be. There's the last pick in the draft is in the NFC Championship right now, right? Yeah. And a quarterback that lost his job in college, was a transfer, and had his job on the line last year. They were trying to replace him. The Eagles were actively trying to get Deshaun Watson, to get Russell Wilson, but they said, screw it, let's just build the best team possible around Hurts, and it's paying them big dividends. Obviously, sure, it's easier because they have their quarterback on cheap money, but let's not act like you can't acquire talent if you wanted to acquire talent. Like, yeah. the blueprint is out there. Right? So it's whether these teams want to take it and run with it, which I have no idea why they wouldn't, but who knows? I'm not the one to tell someone else how they run their franchise, but I know if I was in that situation, I'd be trying big time to at least acquire some extra talent to give these quarterbacks, because everybody knows what Josh Allen's capable of, but you can't just go in every single week relying on Josh Allen to bail your team out.
With all this talk about quarterbacks and weapons, I want to flip over to the other side of the ball just briefly. I want to give some credit to the Cincinnati Bengals on the defensive side of the ball, because yeah, we all love Joe Burrow, and what he's doing is exceptional. But this is a very, yes, very underrated unit, and this is the second year in a row now where they seem to be playing their best football. Late December, early January, and who knows at this rate, maybe they're even going to be playing in February, because what this defense is doing, and it's not just one guy. It's not a defense that has, you know, one star like the Rams last year, there and Donald or Jalen Ramsey. It is literally a complete team effort, and it's just so, so impressive how they continue to rise to the occasion. So I just wanted to give a little bit of love to the Cincinnati Bengals.
No,
but
absolutely.
Of course, we got to talk about Joe Burrow as well, because, I mean, I said it a couple weeks ago. I said it.
I think last week you said it.
Was it last week when I said Brady-esque? And a few people were ripping me, saying that's the stupidest argument ever. You know, he's 3 years into his league. And I just want to say, I'm not saying he's Tom Brady or he's on the level of Tom Brady. I'm just saying the way in which he commands his offense, wins, and shines in big moments, despite not being the most talented guy, which is true, it reminds me of something that Tom Brady has accomplished before, and it's just, and it's incredible what this guy's doing.
I don't think it's crazy to say that he's like the reincarnation of Tom Brady. Obviously, I don't think he's going to go and win 7 Super Bowls, but the way he carries himself, the way that he honestly, the way he commands the field is like, it's like I'm watching Tom Brady. I don't know, whatever. People can say whatever they want, but the fact is we're looking at a quarterback that in such a short period of time, and he got injured in his first year too. So this is pretty much like, I don't want to discredit his whole first year because you can't do that, but let's just face it. His first two healthy seasons, he can be playing in back-to-back Super Bowls.
You know that if you remove both of their rookie seasons, Joe Burrow tore his ACL in his rookie year, Patrick Mahomes played one game in his rookie year. So if you remove both of those quarterbacks' rookie seasons, they've been in the AFC Championship every single year of their career. Like, what?
And the AFC is a crazy conference, yeah, too. Like, this is no walk.
Like,
in
you've
the park.
Gone up against, you know, Lamar Jackson's MVP season. You know, a couple years now of Josh Allen being a very good quarterback. Justin Herbert's been good there the past 3 years as well. I know the Chargers haven't had any playoff success. Trevor Lawrence is emerging. The Dolphins are a good team. Like, despite all this, you still feel like when you watch these two teams that every single year, these two teams are going to win in the playoffs.
Yeah.
At least get to the divisional round, maybe more with these two quarterbacks. It's insane.
It's remarkable, honestly. And what we're seeing is it could be like the next era of great quarterbacks, right? Like these two, I really believe, obviously, I think Mahomes is still on the tier by himself, but like you can't discredit what Joe Burrow is doing. And I really do think if you put Mahomes on tier one, you're putting Burrow on tier 1A. And then everybody else. There's no other person that's on Burrow's level. Yeah, I really don't think
so. You think
so.
He's
I don't think
down.
So. I really
like,
don't.
Like, is that too prisoner of the moment?
I don't think so. I've been saying it since last year, to be honest. I have been. And I just watching this guy at LSU and watching his story, it's like a... I'll say this. Whoever's making a Netflix documentary about Joe Burrow in 25, 30 years, it's going to be one of the best documentaries I've ever seen. Because he's like he is exactly what every underdog story represents, like losing his job at Ohio State, getting injured in his rookie year, going to Super Bowl in his first full healthy year, and then and overcoming so much. Like all offseason, everyone was talking Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, Justin Herbert. Joe Burrow has been there the whole time, and to not put him up there is absolute blasphemy, and he's showing us that firsthand. The dude just continues to ball every single week. And even when you thought they were out of it, that game against Baltimore, they very well could have lost it. I'm not saying Joe Burrow won that game for them, but the thing with great quarterbacks, you can't give them any life because
find ways to win.
They'll take it. They'll take it on the run from it. The Bengals could very well win this whole thing, and they'll look back. And if the Ravens didn't fumble that ball on the 2 yard line, the Bengals might be first round exits. But look, Joe Burrow's hoisting the Lombardi Trophy. That is what makes a great quarterback. Exactly. Every single thing that Joe Burrow is doing week in and week out, going into Buffalo. Buffalo is 6-point favorites, by the way.
Can we say, like, why?
I don't know. A lot of people bet the Bills, too. Free money.
Because you know why? When you see that, it scares you. It's like, what does Vegas know? Because to me, that game should have been, maybe because the Bills are at home, maybe 2.5 points. And I know usually say the home team is 3 points. Like, I would even say that could be a pick 'em.
Yeah.
Because, like, that was wild to me.
Which... By the way, I always hear that. What does Vegas know? Vegas knows Jack.
No.
They know Jack.
Sometimes I feel
they
like
know Jack.
Okay, but generally, if you what go they do against know? The public, you, like, Vegas wins.
Yeah.
The thing is about
because
that,
it's impossible
like,
for them to lose.
Vegas also lose. Has a hold. Like, because you're betting minus 110, they have plus one. Like,
no, the reason why people... look, guys, at the end of the day, Vegas knows nothing. People bet the line. If the line opens up at 3 and it's a little low, that line will it'll go to 5 and then suddenly it's the public. Yeah, so the public, of course, for Vegas to stay in business, the public has to lose more times than it wins. And that's just the fact of the matter. There is way more casual fans that know nothing about football that are just betting the favorite team, betting the favorite. So from a profit standpoint, that's just not going to win, right? And what one thing Vegas is very accurate in is the point totals, but spreads telling you they know Jack. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear people say, "Oh, I see this line. What does Vegas know? It's a bait line." the Bengals and the Bills shows you firsthand. It's you know, Jack, go with your gut. I did that exact same thing. I faded whatever people were saying about Vegas. I heard millions of people telling me that about, oh, what is Vegas? No, why is the line at six points? I'm taking the Bills. Okay, whatever. I'll take Joe Burrow plus whatever I got.
Like, even if you thought the Bills were going to win, there's no way you can sit here and be like, yeah, the Bills are a touchdown better than the Bengals going into that game. Like, regardless of knowing what we know now, there's no, like, I can't believe anyone would look at them and be like, yeah, I'm going to take the Bills.
Yeah, you'd be surprised. You would be surprised.
I would be surprised.
But I think the Bills were like the America's darling this year, I feel like, right? Yes, like, a lot of people were high on the Bills. Obviously, super emotional season. They went through so much adversity, really, like with their snowstorm and then DeMar Hamlin, and just it felt like every single week there was something else with the Bills. Obviously, I mean, it didn't end in the way that Bills fans had hoped, and a lot of people expected it to finish. But, I mean, another team that, if I want to jump right into the next topic, that sort of fell, I don't want to say fell short of expectations, because they had a fantastic year. Like, they smashed all expectations out of the park. But their bar really got set high after that first playoff game. And we were both worried. Like, you know what I mean? We were both said, okay, just relax. Like, right, you beat the Vikings. Like, just relax a bit. But, I mean, the New York Giants seem to fall back down to earth. And again, they had a fantastic year. But now it leaves them with a question mark, right? Like, Daniel Jones and Saquon Barkley, two guys that had fantastic years. They're both due up for contracts this year. Obviously, you can only use franchise tag on one person. So, assuming they do give it on to somebody, I should add that, according to Ralph Vacchiano, a very credible New York reporter, he said today that Barkley is looking to sort of at that CMC $16 million per year, which is the league-leading average for running back, $16 million a year. That's what Saquon wants in his next on his next deal. Obviously, the running back franchise tag is around $10 million. So what would you do here from a contract standpoint? Because it's an interesting topic for sure.
It is tough because we've seen teams give long-term deals to running backs in the past, and really none of them ever work out. Only maybe one. Derrick Henry's the only
but Derrick Henry too. McCaffrey, that's it.
You think the McCaffrey deal, would you consider like this has worked out? Because,
well, not for the Panthers.
The Panthers moved him. Like,
I guess.
The Panthers sucked.
Yeah, like, I guess. Puck, you're making a good point.
I mean, Derrick Henry, I'll say that he has sort of worked out because he's the only running back that I've seen with so much longevity and durability, and even he has gotten hurt at some times. But the thing is, like,
every running back hits a wall.
You have to be careful with Daniel Jones because he's had a really good season. But the thing with the Vikings, or not the Vikings, the Giants, it's so much momentum going into this game. Everyone was, I'll use the word proud, because I think even just NFL fans, don't have to be Giants fans, we're sort of happy to see a little bit of success for that franchise that have been suffering for a while now.
Yeah.
And then you're just reminded how far off you still are from truly competing for a Super Bowl by getting embarrassed by a division rival for a game that was pretty much over after the first drive. Felt like it anyways. So now it's like, what do you do? Because Daniel Jones is good. I think he's proven that. I think he's earned another contract. I think if you go in any other direction, you're just setting back your franchise. But you have to be careful with the value, because he's not worth, you know, the 40-plus, 45 million. Worth 30. Like, so what do you do now? You franchise tag him, you're giving him a boatload of money,
which is like around $35 million. But it's only a one-year deal.
Yeah. And then you're committing long-term to Saquon. Because to me, you have to keep both.
See, this is where I'll push back a little bit. Everyone knows my stance on running backs. I have this horrible Christian McCaffrey take that's out there that's aging worse and worse every single week. But I would franchise tag Saquon.
Yeah.
Let him take that $10 million. Obviously, I'm not, this is a tricky subject, because now people are going to say, oh, Saquon deserves his money. Absolutely, he deserves his money. But I'm trying to think from a business standpoint, right? So I would franchise take Saquon Barkley, give him his $10 million. I would consider that Saquon's final year with the Giants, by the way. So that's my thought process. I'm tagging Saquon knowing that he's going to leave elsewhere and sign. With Daniel Jones, if Daniel Jones wants to take a two-year, $40 million a year deal, sure, so be it. If he wants more than that, I'm letting him hit the open market too. The reason, my thought process behind this is, sure, Daniel Jones had a great year, considering all the expectations people threw his name out there, said he was a bust, all that. He bounced back in a great way. Now, was that Daniel Jones, or was that just the pure genius of Brian Daboll, who is an absolute home run hire of a head coach? And now imagine if Brian Daboll had a good quarterback in that system, how much higher.
I think DJ's a good quarterback.
But sure.
You were also talking about a weapons league, and the Giants have literally you and me at wide receiver.
Absolutely. No, absolutely. 100%. But I just think that if you're going to start this new era of Giants football, which that's what it is, and they're building a foundation, I don't know if Daniel Jones is going to be able to take you over that next step. Like, do you trust Daniel Jones in the playoffs? I think we're at Daniel Jones' ceiling. Sure, it'd be nice. He has his wide receiver. So be it. But is a wide receiver one going to make up that 30-point difference that they lost in the Eagles?
To me, when you look at Daniel Jones, you got to build a 49ers-type super team for me to be confident to say, I think they can beat the Eagles on the road in a playoff game and go to the Super Bowl. Because right now, I mean, we're going to get into these games in a second, but I'm confident that Brock Purdy, who, again, not a slam-dunk, elite-level quarterback. I mean, he's playing like one at this point with the fact that he just keeps winning games. But I'm confident that with his surrounding, he can go and win in Philly. You need a lot more on the roster. And now this is where it gets tricky, because you got to pay the guy.
Yes, and that's where it becomes hard.
And that's where I agree with you, because I would franchise take Saquon, because I also don't believe in the long-term value of a running back. I mean, look at Le'Veon Bell in Pittsburgh. He was phenomenal. Contract year came in, franchise tag, holdout, let him walk, went to the Jets. We never heard from him ever again.
Heck, look at Zeke, right?
Yeah.
Like, prime Zeke was fantastic, right? But
now he's an RB2.
If that, right? Like, the thing with running backs is they all hit a wall, right? You could only give the ball 350 times a year to a guy before his body starts to fall apart. Like, that's very demanding. And it's just the harsh reality of the position, right? And Saquon's a fantastic football player. So, so talented. And, I mean, sure, he ended up in the wrong situation, and his career trajectory could have probably been better had he got drafted or had he landed somewhere else. But he's still a fantastic football player. But from a business standpoint, you can't expect to be throwing around $15, $16 million to Saquon, even with his injury concerns, and just knowing that one day he's going to hit a wall. Whether that's next year, the year after, at some point in that contract extension, it's going to become one of, if not the worst contract in the league, because it's usually, that's what you see, right? Now, Zeke's contract's the worst contract in the league, and it just tends to be the case with these running backs. But going back to my point with what I say about Daniel Jones, let's say Brian Daboll gets a amazing young quarterback that he can work with and help develop while that front office is building that team, because that quarterback's on that super cheap deal. Now, if Daniel Jones were to get extended, you think Daniel Jones is going to be extended for $20 million a year? No way. No way. If the Giants are paying Daniel Jones, they're paying him at least $30 million plus, at least. That's just the going rate for quarterback.
If it's a short-term deal, I'm fine with that.
Yeah, but
because you know what you have. There's no bigger risk when you have what I'll call now a winning formula, because they had a good season. Yes. They made the playoffs. They won a playoff
game. It is a winning formula.
Like, rookie quarterbacks, I think we're forgetting how hit or miss they
are. Absolutely. Like, absolutely.
A couple years ago, it was heralded as a elite quarterback draft class. There were five quarterbacks taken in the first round. Trevor Lawrence has been to the playoffs. Okay, he's won a playoff game. Zach Wilson probably will be on his second team very soon in the NFL. Trey Lance, who knows what that guy's future, and it's unfortunate for him because of injuries, but who knows? Justin Fields is on the worst team in football, and Mac Jones is just in a uninspiring offense. Five quarterbacks, five. One has won a playoff game. First round picks. And you want to move off of a guy like Daniel Jones, who's been to the playoffs, who's won, who's a veteran, who knows the offense, who is a good leader. Like, yeah, he's not an elite level quarterback, but I think that's okay.
Like, again, just to, I mean, sure, it's a tricky situation. And I mean, like I said, Daniel Jones, he had a very good year, right? Very, very good year. But I just wonder, at least for me, what the ceiling of a team led by Daniel Jones would be, right? I mean, obviously, like we mentioned multiple times before, it is a weapons league, and Daniel Jones and the Giants don't have that weaponry yet. But even if they did, like, they have a fantastic defense. O-line's great. Running back's great. So they're really missing missing wide receivers right now. If they were to keep Daniel Jones and they have a good receiving core, is that going to make up that 30-point difference from the best team in the conference to them? No, I don't think so. Right?
I mean, you can't act like every single game they're going to lose. No, by 30.
Of course.
Maybe you replay that game and, you know, but certain things happen.
Did,
it's
he
a little
did
closer.
Make some key mistakes.
Yeah,
and,
for sure he did.
And that led to, of course, obviously they're not going to lose every game 40-7 or whatever it was. But for me, it's a ceiling sort of question. Like, how good, like, what's the ceiling of a team led by Daniel Jones? What is it really, right? Of Daniel Jones,
it's like a playoff run. I think like, it's almost like I think we've seen it already this year.
Maybe, and you can make the argument for that. Now, if Daniel Jones was a rookie drafted last year, and they at least have the next 4 years to build a team around him on a rookie contract. Sure, yeah, absolutely. You keep Daniel Jones, no doubt. But now that you're bringing in the contract sort of situation here, it makes team building just a little bit more difficult. It's still possible, but for a guy that needs what Daniel Jones needs around him to succeed and truly become a Super Bowl caliber team, it just seems now unrealistic because they're going to have to start giving him franchise money, right? Does that make sense?
No, it's a very, very hard, like, to me, the Giants are one of the more interesting teams.
Oh, if not the most
interesting. In terms of, like, what this offseason is going to look like, who they're going to pay, how much money these contracts are going to be, who they're going to add to their roster. But I think, you know, Joe Schoen and Brian Daboll have done a really good job so far, and I'm confident that they'll find a way to make things work through this situation that I think is very difficult.
Yeah,
I'm glad that I'm not tasked with making these calls. Yeah. Because I probably messed it up. So.
Yes. Well, again, like you mentioned before, 100%, like from a Giants fan perspective, you should have all the faith in the world in these two guys to make the decision. Whatever decision they make, I would recommend sticking with that decision because those two have earned their... They're actually respect and belief that that decision that they will make is better and will benefit the franchise because they know whatever decision they're gonna make, there's gonna be a lot of pushback for it. Whether that's they extend both franchise one, let the other one go, or let both go, right? Whatever decision they make, they're gonna face scrutiny for it. But these two have deserved the respect and the belief from that franchise and the fan base to stick along for the ride because I still believe the best days of Giants football are much, much ahead of them, right?
Yeah, I mean, they won't be playing this week, but despite the blow, it's still a very good season. I mean, if I'm grading, I'd give it an A+ in terms of what the Giants were able to accomplish this year, given their expectations. I actually think, I want to look back, and maybe we'll do this, go look back to our preseason predictions.
Oh, yeah.
But 100%. I think I picked the Giants to win maybe 4 or 5 games this year. So, you know what? Shout out to you for proving me wrong. I did fill out my Daniel Jones apology form on the show last week. But let's move on.
I filled out my Jalen Hurts one this week. Yeah. I sent it to my Eagles buddies.
Jalen Hurts as well, and he answered the bell. Yep. All this talk about, maybe he won't be able to get it done in the playoffs. Maybe he's not the guy to carry this Eagles roster forward. Like, I think Jalen Hurts has, and he's done it every single week, and there continue to be doubters. I mean, for the sake of Jalen Hurts, I always said I love him as a person, love him as a quarterback. I hope he continues to do that. But we're in for two very, very good games this week, AFC and NFC Championship. The four best teams are left.
Yes.
It's been an interesting playoff. There's been some upsets. There's been some good games. There have been some blowouts. But through all of that, the four best teams in the NFL are the final four remaining, which is always good to see. Where do you want to start here? 49ers and Eagles?
Yeah, let's start.
Let's start with the afternoon game. I did have the 49ers winning in my bracket in this situation. I believe you did as well. Has anything you've seen from either of these two teams changed that for you?
I'm taking the Eagles to win the game.
You're taking the Eagles to go to the Super Bowl, eh?
Yep, I am. As it pains me to say, I don't know. Again, I don't think the 49ers played particularly well on Sunday. I think it was more the Cowboys losing the game than the 49ers winning the game. Sure, yeah, they made their plays and they made the plays that mattered when it mattered, but I just think the Eagles are the all-around better team. Them being at home obviously gives them the edge. I just worry about Brock Purdy. I know, again, it's the continuous doubt. What is he going to do this week? When is he going to start playing like a rookie? I think he has played like a rookie the last 2 weeks.
I agree with that, too.
He's just been able to get out of it.
Awesome stat line against the Seahawks, but a lot of that was on, you know, yards after catch, yeah, and a lot of that was the product of the game plan and his receivers. Listen, I love Brock Purdy, and I can't remember the last time that I've said this. Honestly, there's four teams left. Whoever wins the Super Bowl, I think I'd be happy with. And I know you don't share that same feeling because obviously your division rival Eagles are still in. But I think every single team that's left has such a unique story that is just so... It's something that I can find a way to root for it. Maybe Brock Purdy's one on that list just because I love the... Yeah, like literally the great, last pick in the draft going on this epic undefeated run and going to win. I don't know. I think both of these games are going to be incredibly close. And that's telling the Super Bowl odds right now. The Chiefs are the favorites, are plus 250. Yeah. Eagles are right behind them. 40, the Eagles and Bengals are plus 260. And then I think the 49ers are like plus 300 or something. Like it is so, so close between the four teams, which is also something that I haven't think we've seen in quite some time. So I'm super excited. I'm going to stick with my original pick, though. I'm going to pick the 49ers to win this game.
Yeah. I could see the 49ers. Again, if both these teams are at their best, you probably get the edge to the 49ers. I just, again, the last 2 weeks, I really don't think the 49ers have been all that special, right?
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
And the Eagles looked darn good, man. I know it is the New York Giants at the end of the day, and it's a little bit easier of a matchup. But, again, maybe it is Kyle Shanahan's year. He's due. The 49ers, after all, have been in the NFC very low-key, by the way.
Yeah, 3 to 4 years.
3 of the last 4 years, which is incredible because, I mean, like Jimmy Garoppolo and Brock Purdy now, like it's like absolutely insane how Kyle Shanahan is able to just do this like it's his day job, because I mean it is his day job. But I mean, is there a particular X factor in this game for you? Like, are you looking at one thing in particular that would give the edge to the 49ers?
George Kittle's been very good recently, especially with Brock Purdy. I think the last 6 weeks of the regular season, you had 9 touchdowns or something like that. Crazy. I'm going to say Deebo Samuel, though. This guy's really, really electric after the catch, after the handoff, however they get him involved. I feel like when the 49ers are at their best is when they're using him the most. We know McCaffrey's going to get the ball. Kittle's more of that, I think, insurance policy on that offense.
Yeah.
Deebo's really the game breaker. This is a tough Philly defense. You got maybe the best corner tandem and certainly one of the most experienced corner tandems in the NFL in Darius Slay and James Bradbury. I think if you just play them sort of one-on-one and try not to get creative and just say, we're going to go with our best guys against your best guys on the road, I think that's a losing recipe. What makes the 49ers so good is their creativity, their outside-of-the-box thinking. Let's get Deebo Samuel the ball however we can. I think that's the key to unlocking this game and to winning and making it a lot easier on Brock Purdy.
I'm glad you said that, because my X factor, if I were to pinpoint one person, it's Kyle Shanahan. And is he able to use his creative brain to find mismatches and just make those key plays on 3rd and 3 and converting on those 3rd downs and getting points off turnovers, if there is any turnovers, winning that turnover battle. I think it's so, so important for Kyle Shanahan to get any, to put his position, put his players in position to get any sort of edge, even if it's just an extra 5, 6, 7 yards on the road in the playoffs. That's all you really need, right? And if Kyle Shanahan's able to scheme up near perfect game, I think the 49ers are able to win this game. Obviously, that's easier said than done, but we're in for a good one nonetheless. I want to hear one last thing, bold predictions for this 49ers and Eagles preview. What is a bold prediction you got for this weekend?
I don't even know if it's bold at this point, because he's been doing it week after week. Brock Purdy answers the bell.
Wow.
Brock Purdy, 300 yards, 2 touchdowns.
Any picks?
40, no picks. Clean game. 49ers win. All at his completion percentage, 67%, so relatively strong as well. 49ers win 27-24 in a really, really close game. Wow. And I think I'm really excited to watch Jalen Hurts against a strong defense that really hasn't allowed anybody to put up points on them. I mean, only Patrick Mahomes and Jared Stidham, which is a game you can throw out the window, have succeeded against this 49ers defense all
Jared
season long.
Stidham.
That's it. So Jalen Hurts has been incredible this year. Can he get it done? I think he'll have his share of success, but in the end, it's going to be Brock Purdy what did I say, 300 yards, two touchdowns, yeah, and a 49ers win. That's my bold prediction.
My bold predictions, I'm going with A.J. Brown. He's been sort of, I mean, I heard he was dealing with some injuries last game against the Giants, but I'm going with A.J. Brown, scores two touchdowns en route to an Eagles victory. I think the Eagles are going to get this one and ultimately play the winner of the Bengals and the Chiefs, what we are going to preview right now. I'm not going to give away my prediction, even though if you know my bracket, you very well know exactly who I'm picking to win this game.
And if you know my bracket, you know exactly who I'm picking this game.
Do we both have the same AFC and NFC championship? No, you had the Bills.
No.
Oh, you had the Bengals?
I almost picked the Dolphins to beat the Bills. Yeah, I had the Bengals. We have the same Final Four. We've gotten the Final Four.
Puck. That deserves a round of applause.
Brackets.
Yeah, you know what? That's sort of our
strong track record.
Yeah, that is it. That is our record. That is definitely a strong record.
All right, so because we all know you picked the Bengals to win the Super Bowl. We all know I picked the Chiefs to win the Super Bowl. Why don't you go ahead and tell me why the Bengals are going to win this game?
Well, shall I start that, Mr. Patrick Mahomes has never beat the infamous Joe Cool, Joe Burrow. And, I mean, he's banged up right now. I think they may have done it if he was fully healthy, but I think not having that ability for Mahomes to sort of get out of the pocket there, and people are going to try and downplay the injury. The guy's dealing with a high ankle sprain. That's no joke, right?
He's got Wolverine blood.
He may have Wolverine blood. Russell Wilson. He may have Wolverine blood, but I don't know if the Wolverine blood makes your bones any stronger, because it looked like his ankle bent in a way that it shouldn't, which it did. And he came back. He played good. He was like Greg Jennings. Put my team on the back, on my back, though. But I'm going with Joe Burrow. I think that just, again, there's just something about this Bengals team. And again, I don't know how long they're going to be able to ride this out, but it seems like it's well alive now. I think they're going to go in and handle business. I think this team is just all business. And again, they're going to ride this underdog mentality, because for some reason they still remain to be underdogs. And I'm just taking Joe Burrow. I don't really necessarily have a reason. It's my gut feeling. I've watched him do it year in and year out, dating back to his LSU days. And I'm rolling with the guy. I'm rolling with the Bengals, the high-flying Bengals. I know it's a big task. I will say this, though. I know it's not necessarily a bold prediction, because I do have the Bengals winning the Super Bowl. But if the Bengals were to lose to the Chiefs, I think the Chiefs are winning the Super Bowl, and vice versa. Yeah. I think the Super Bowl champion is coming from the AFC this year.
I'd agree with that. I think it's very hard to not pick the Bengals right now. Even though the Chiefs are favorites in this game, the way the momentum is going in, Joe Burrow is literally at a point now where he just looks like there's no way he can lose. And I think, like, even if we remember the Super Bowl last year, the Bengals should have won that game.
Yes.
They were winning all game. They had a chance to retake the lead after the Rams scored very late. And they had some flags that helped them get their way too. Like, Joe Burrow has such a good track record in the playoffs. Even in games where he's not the best, they find their way to at least be in it late, and they usually win. So it's very hard for me to pick the against the Bengals, especially after the Mahomes injury. I just think it's going to be I don't want to use the term legacy game, because I think that's a little bit overused, but this whole narrative of Mahomes has never beaten Burrow, I think, is just going to be completely shut down after Sunday. It's a real chance for him to show, like you were saying earlier, because I don't think everyone agrees with us where Mahomes is in a tier of his own. Let's not forget, going into the season, there was a real crowd that would argue that Josh Allen's the best quarterback in the NFL above Patrick Mahomes. So I think this is a big one for him.
Patrick, like, he just had a remarkable... If anyone not named Patrick Mahomes had the season that Patrick Mahomes had,
yeah,
people would be like, whoa, this is like the next thing. This is the next best thing ever. The best quarterback ever. But, like, just because it's Patrick Mahomes, has become like his standard.
Yeah.
Which should show you that he's on a tier by himself. But we'll save that for another show.
I don't know. Just like you said, I don't have any particular reason. I'm just going to go with my guy, Patrick Mahomes, because I just think he's that good. Like, I can't count this guy out. But he's also going up against another guy where I'm like, maybe I can't count this guy out either. It's tough. So when it's tough like that and I have to make a strong decision, I'm just going to pick the team that I like better. And everyone knows I love the Chiefs. So we're picking the Chiefs. I feel like I had something else to say, but we're just going to go on to X Factors now.
Is it fair to say that your X Factor is now Patrick Mahomes, or do you have a different X Factor?
Maybe it's Chad Henne if that ankle can't go. I mean, I remember when I was 7 years old, watching the Dolphins.
Oh, that he was ex-Dolphin.
He was for my first ever Dolphins quarterback. Yeah. Was Chad Henne. I never saw Chad Henne throw a touchdown in the stupid playoffs. I'll tell you that. There he is on Sunday throwing touchdowns in the playoffs. If you told 7-year-old me that at 21 years old you'd watch Chad Henne throw a touchdown in the playoffs, I would have been like, this guy's going to be the guy forever for the Dolphins. Yeah, go figure. Anyways, I guess my X factor is, I'm going to say my X factor is the Bengals pass rush. Because okay. if they can make it difficult for Mahomes with limited mobility, that's where I think we can sort of, that's where the game leans Cincy.
Yes, absolutely. I think I could agree with that.
We,
I think
we know Burrow's going to do well against 100%. The Chiefs defense. We know Chase is going to do well. So I'm gonna put it on the Bengals front four, who have been really good.
Yes. My X factor, so I went back and forth on this because obviously the average person is going to go and say, oh, Joe Burrow is the X factor. I really do think that the X factor in this game is going to be Joe Mixon. I think if the Bengals can get that run game going, which they did against the Bills, that opens up so much for that pass game and for Joe Burrow to just take advantage of, right? We saw Hayden Hurst just have a great game against the Bills. The game was wide open in that sense. I mean, T. Higgins had a solid game. Ja'Marr Chase obviously doing what he does week in, week out. Tyler Boyd, I think if they're able to get this run game going and get Joe Mixon involved early, I think that's a bad recipe for the Chiefs. And I don't think they're going to be able to stop an offense that's firing on all cylinders like that, right? I think this game, it could very well be a shootout. Like, it could come down to whoever has the ball last, right? And in that case, I think that's why everyone's so excited for this game, because like we're talking about a game that could just be right down to the wire, because both these quarterbacks are just capable of doing that, right? But I think Joe Mixon, man, if you can get Joe Mixon involved, I really like the Bengals' chances in ultimately overcoming going into Arrowhead Stadium and ultimately winning this game.
Yeah, I could see it. And Joe Mixon had a quiet over 100 very yards. Quiet.
130 yards, I think, in scrimmage. 130 scrimmage yards.
He was really good, and he helped them bleed that clock and win the game up front throughout. All right, we'll go to our bold prediction now.
You want me to go?
Sure.
So, you know, Joe Burrow had a fantastic quote, one of the best quotes. If Geno Smith didn't have that right back quote, I think that would have been the best quote of the year.
I think also Joe Burrow can just open his mouth because he just has this
persona.
I think last year it really bothered me because I was like, Miami, you should have had the first overall pick that year. Like, I hated the Bengals. I really didn't want them to win last year because Miami was tanking at the same time they were tanking. They were in the Super Bowl and we didn't even sniff the playoffs. Or I guess we were kind of close, but whatever. This year now I'm kind of like, you know what? This guy's actually pretty cool. Like, he wins. It's a cool story and I'll sort of root for them. But yeah, he literally can just open his mouth and say whatever, and everyone's like, wow, Joe Burrow.
No, come on.
It was a good quote.
It was a good quote. You could tell that definitely gave him a little bit of firepower when they saw that they were selling those. Of course, you have to sell the tickets.
I think it's weird that Cincy does this. I read that Zach Taylor said he'll scour every inch of the internet for motivation, which is just like, you really need that as an NFL coach.
Who knows? Maybe they're reading our tweets. Maybe last year, when I picked the Bengals to win like 3 games, maybe Zach Taylor...
That definitely gets sent
maybe
around.
Maybe in the Super Bowl, Zach Taylor before the game said, look at this dumb idiot on CTV, put the Bengals to win 3 games. We're going to prove this guy wrong this week. And maybe, you know what? Maybe I can...
I can see. I mean,
maybe
Zach,
I have a hand. Maybe,
Zach Taylor does that stuff.
Maybe so. I'm like a minority owner in the Bengals for that case, for giving them that extra motivation.
Yeah. Anyways, what were you saying? Joe Burrow...
So Joe Burrow, you know, Mr. Refund. Give those refunds. I hope those Bills fans got those refunds, you know. Maybe they got to buy some shovels, and because they heard they're expecting a lot of snow. Wednesday, but it depends when you're hearing this. Wednesday, they're expecting a lot of snow down there. But Joe Burrow, 5 touchdowns.
Five touchdowns. Okay, mine five wasn't going to be as bold as that. That's wow. Like when you hear that, like I think the Bengals are going to win by a lot. Because I don't think the game's going to be that high scoring.
Oh, it's going to be high scoring. It's going to be like 38-34.
That's
Bengals.
That doesn't seem like playoff football. But anyways, my bold prediction, Jet McKinnon, went on a tear of always having a receiving touchdown. Everyone was on him this week against the Jaguars. I don't even think he had a catch.
Yep.
I'm going to say Jerick McKinnon, 8 catches, 80 yards, two touchdowns, and he has over 100 scrimmage yards on the day. Not as bold as five touchdowns.
No.
Still reasonably bold. But he's going to be huge in a big Chiefs win, and the Chiefs are going to be going to the Super Bowl.
Interesting, Pac. I'm definitely excited for this weekend. Obviously, it would have been better to be having my Cowboys here, but, you know, it is what it is. But we're in for two darn good football games, 49ers and Eagles, Bengals and Chiefs. If you guys are listening this far, thank you very much. We appreciate your support, and me and Pac are going to be trying to do this throughout all the offseason. We got the drafts coming up and all sorts of things, so I know there's only three games left, but the CTB show isn't going to go anywhere. Maybe we'll take a little bit of a break, you know, get some breather in and enjoy the winter a little bit. You know, we'll play some shinny and do all that fun stuff, but we're definitely going nowhere, so if you've reached it to the end, I appreciate it. We appreciate it, I should say. Like, comment, wherever you're listening, download, all sorts of fun stuff. Let us know your Super Bowl predictions as well, and the predictions for this weekend. We're going to do all sorts of fun stuff. I'm sure our Super Bowl preview episode will be pretty cool. But until that, we'll see you guys next Tuesday.
Yeah, take care, guys.
Take care, guys.